Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That is Katie Nolan. That is Israel Gutierrez. We will talk about sports in a bit. But first, we have to talk about, you know, America. After yesterday's disgraceful insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, what do you make of the responses across the NBA?
So I feel, guys, like we should be opening the kimono a little bit because you're watching ESPN right now. If you're watching us, this is a sports show. And anytime something like this happens, although this is fairly singular in the last century or so of American history, we have to figure out how are we going to talk about it through the lens of sports. We turn to sports to give us the excuse to talk about something serious. In this case, however, it became pretty obvious that sports was going to respond. The NBA had 11 games. We had players kneeling, the Celtics, the Heat, the Bucks having commentary. And there was Draymond Green being pretty clear about how he felt about all of it.
It just goes to show the policing system was built against black people, you know, black and brown people. And that's the reason those reactions are different. That's the reason someone can walk or run or bust their way through or whatever into the Speaker of the House office and put their feet on the desk like they're sitting at home on their couch. Storming into a building and busting out windows and carrying podiums and all that other stuff. That's not a protest. That's a terrorist attack. And so stop using stop describing those people the same way you describe someone who just stand there and make a chant and say, we want justice, we want peace. Stop using the same word. It's disrespectful. It's ridiculous. And it's shameful. You know, to keep calling them protesters. Not protesters, they're terrorists.
They are terrorists. They are domestic terrorists carrying out an insurrection against the U.S. Capitol building in the hopes of overturning a presidential election. And if that is not staggering enough, and if that is not obvious enough to sort of put into its own category, apart from all of the riots and peaceful protests that we saw, I don't know how much we can help you here today, right? Like, this seems to be self-evident, but guys, I just want to point this out. These are athletes who have spent months now talking about how to peacefully, strategically protest so as to minimize offense and maximize attention. So many of them black. And to see how they respond to this, like, it is so depressing that we wasted all of this oxygen about, is this peaceful protest offensive enough? Is it peaceful enough? When this is what happens, clarity in language here seems like the first and most responsible thing to do in a conversation like this.
You know what's interesting to me? And yesterday I had a really unique experience because I had just had a loaded day with work, didn't have a time for a second to breathe until about after midnight. And so I'm learning all of this and what's going on in our country and the responses to it all sort of on the fly. And when I got to this NBA game that I did yesterday between the Miami Heat and the Celtics, I was honestly looking forward to the response from the NBA. And this is sort of what I like about what's happening here is the voices in sports, and in this case, let's say it's the NBA because they happen to play on a weekday, they are proving to be the adults in the room here. They are giving the perspective that we need to hear when there's just a bunch of insanity going on in other places. I mean, think about just that Draymond Green clip right there. Think about the way we thought about Draymond Green not too long ago. He was a groin-kicking crazy person who, if you ever asked, you know, a serious question, would you actually really take in what he's saying? Now, I mean, listen to what he's saying. It's all true. It all makes perfect sense. It's all something we should really think about and frankly be angry about. And so in that respect, having watched all these things happen yesterday, I just like the way the direction this is going. And I don't want to leave it all to the NBA, mind you, because, again, they just happen to play on a weekday, on a Wednesday. But it would be crazy powerful if somebody like Aaron Rodgers in Wisconsin, by the way, says, you know what? I'm probably not going to play in that playoff game a couple weeks from now because a lot of my supporters think like those people in D.C. the other day. So I'd like to see this continue and continue to grow. But the idea, I mean, we've busted through the stick to sports idea, the idea that these athletes can't even do more, or have more power or just set the tone for a country that really needs it. I think that idea has flown out the window, too. They can actually do these things.
Yeah, and I think we should also mention the WNBA and everything that they've been doing as well, because we always forget to mention it, and that's very important. And I'm just going to be honest. I am so uncomfortable being here on television today, because I, as a kid growing up, you're always told that the people on TV know what to say. And here I am on TV, and, you know, these guys know. I thought about not doing the show today, as is evidenced by the fact that I look like I wasn't going to do a show today. I don't know what to say. I suffer from anxiety. I've been very honest about that. We've all been stuck in our homes and isolated for a while. And then things like this happen, and you just lose a sense of what the hell we're supposed to do to stop this from happening. Because every time it happens, we're like, why? You, no, you, no, you. And it's like, I think we all have to take a second and think about us. Like, look at yourself, because if everybody took personal responsibility, we could then know who had nefarious intentions, who is not acting out of good faith. But if everyone is so worried about being called a racist instead of being worried about being a racist, that's where the problem is. So we have to start seeing people as people across the board. And if they demonstrate to you that they are not people, that they do not align with your values, once you know for sure what your values are, then we can discuss how to solve the problem. But everyone's got to take a look at themselves, and I need to take a shower.
Katie, you look so much better than I do when I don't take a shower and show up on television. But more than
could
that,
have just stopped that I do. You could have just stopped that I do.
But I want to get to this Pandora's box thing for a second, because that's how it felt, right? Like, I share all of the befuddlement and confusion and like anxious desperation, because when you watch that video, those pictures, it is metaphor made reality, right? This is extremism. This is white supremacy. This is terrorism infecting, taking over American democracy in the most literal sense. And when that happens, it is a question of like, wait a minute, how do we not normalize this so that extremism does not continue to move not just the conversation, but our society further and further off of the cliff? And so what I did this morning, because we're taping an episode of ESPN Daily about this for tomorrow, after taking a day to process all of this, I called up Elizabeth Williams, who was one of the Atlanta Dream players, to Katie's point, which is so right about the WNBA. They just accomplished a tremendous historic thing in American democracy, helping ensure American democracy by campaigning for a candidate who was the opponent of their co-owner, Kelly Loeffler, who was campaigning against them. And they were the people who provided a national boost, a platform to Raphael Warnock, Kelly Loeffler's opponent, that may get us further away from the extremes. And so Elizabeth Williams just described to me how she woke up one day ecstatic because they had just, in some senses, helped save democracy. The next day, and she's in Turkey, by the way, because she's playing overseas, as so many WNBA players are, she wakes up and she is answering questions about what happened to all the democracy you saved from all of her foreign teammates. And the thought that she had was, when watching those videos, was, I can't believe how eerily confident these terrorists were, because they did not look like her. And that is a privilege that, if you can't reckon with that just visually, again, I don't think we can help you very much today.
Up next on HQ.
No, 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 Katie. I would like to redo your entire take here with this little bit of information. Most of the photoshops I saw on Twitter yesterday had Deshaun Watson in a Patriots uniform. Go.
Highly Questionable is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Should Deshaun Watson demand a trade?
Yes, absolutely. I don't even care that this is merely like manufactured by Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. It's entirely gossip, entirely speculation. I don't care. If you're Deshaun Watson's friend, you have a responsibility to call him right now and be like, hey, man, remember the time they traded DeAndre Hopkins? Hey, man, remember the time they, gave an extension to a worse version of Bill O'Brien, Nick Caserio, who they just hired away from the Patriots because they're obsessed with the Patriots? Hey, man, remember the time you sort of cracked a rib and like busted your lungs and then took a bus because you couldn't fly in the air on a plane to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why is my phone dipping? It's not the phone symbol anymore. Do not hang tough. Do not hang tight. Get out of there. If you're Deshaun Watson, you want to get away from there as soon as possible. But my only fear is that maybe he's too polite to like actually demand it as loudly as he should.
It seems like it. It's got to frustrate you when your former number one receiver is going to play with a guy who's probably not even as good as you. And that other guy was getting MVP discussions halfway through the season. I mean, what do they have to do in Houston to make Deshaun Watson look as good as he actually is? If I'm the Texans, you know what? I say trade him. I know he's, what, 25 years old, but look, you've got the new GM. He's got the six-year deal. If you can get a haul for him, go ahead and do it. Whether that be if you want to, you know, put out questions about Trevor Lawrence, maybe he isn't the main guy. Maybe he isn't a sure thing. You certainly can say that about Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. Nobody knows if they're going to be a sure thing. So you can play to the Jets. You can play to the Jaguars even and say, give me all your draft picks. Give me a young talent. I've got a franchise quarterback that you know is great. So if I'm the Texans and I'm Caserio, I'm doing it. You're rebuilding anyway. So you really won't be in all likelihood a contender for 2 or 3 years. You're talking about Deshaun being in his late 20s. J.J. Watt only has so many apologies left in him.
Yeah, and to your point, Izzy, like, you can recognize that a guy has value, but if you can't figure out how to make it work in your organization, exactly, then it's not valuable to you. You could say that maybe I have a different perspective on this, but if you are somewhere that is your job and you feel you have value, it's your job to speak up for your value. And if your job tells you that they value you but treats you differently, then you have to have conversations because you got to figure out where things are missing. And everybody's got to be honest. If the Texans don't want to make it work with Deshaun Watson, then get rid of him while you can, because the longer you hold on to him, the less value he will have. He's like a car in your organization. He depreciates the second he got there, and it's just going down and down and down. The longer you make him look bad on a national stage. So if you're going to trade him, do it while his value's high and then move on from it.
I would like to redo your entire take here with this little bit of information. Most of the photoshops I saw on Twitter yesterday had Deshaun Watson in a Patriots uniform. Go.
Oh, what? I didn't even see any of that. As I said, I've been very focused on working on myself and like thinking about stuff in my brain. And I didn't know that there was a rumor at all that the team that might get him was the Patriots, because I wouldn't then go on TV and say that they should trade them. So now that I know that, let me say, don't trade him, keep him.
I just want to point out that I feel like Katie is making Deshaun Watson photoshops, and Izzy tried to sneak in that his advice was that they should be staging, the Texans should, a misinformation campaign about Trevor Lawrence, that he's not actually that good.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was a Houston reporter that made fun of his mustache on that Zoom call.
Here we go.
Wow.
Is it possible that the Knicks are actually good?
I know Pablo's going to love this topic. The Knicks are 5-3 under Tom Thibodeau, which, by the way, we can go back to that whole Thibodeau conversation. I don't know which one's which.
It's either. Their
best record since 2013, and they're doing it with some defense. They're seventh in the league in defensive rating. Julius Randle is averaging 23 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists, which, if that is maintained, well, he will definitely
be in the
MVP discussion, and it cannot be sustained, but he's doing that so far, okay? The defense can be sustained, especially with Mitchell Robinson in the paint. And, you know, when you have to get, like, a big game or a big quarter from Austin Rivers to win a game, probably not sustainable, but he is a nice piece to have on your bench. You haven't seen Obi Toppin yet, but for one game. So what I'm saying is you put a defensive coach in there like Tom Thibodeau, and the Knicks can possibly be good. Here, I'm not going to project that they are, but I am definitely here for banner raising at 5-3 for the New York Knicks. And so that's what I'm here for. 5-3 Knicks. If they can sustain this, fantastic. I want to hear it for the rest of the year, but right now I want to bathe in it.
Izzy, that was transparently farcical. Even worse, it was irresponsible and dangerous. Because you know people that I once was like before I had my own personal awakening, are listening to Izzy and they're like, yeah, Austin Rivers shooting 55% from three.
Yeah.
Totally see that continuing. Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, despite letting up, you know, all of these shots at the rim at will, they're totally going to continue to be this good. And oh yeah, right. Man, ooh, what a strong start. Even though the Orlando Magic right now are 6-2 and we're trying to like spike footballs here because the Knicks for the first time are a little bit above 500. Like, Izzy, don't do this. Because people right now in New York, despite the fact that you glossed over the fact that their lottery pick, Obi Toppin, is injured right now, are somehow even more hopeful, despite the fact that that guy was supposed to be the guy to save them. So no, count me out of the entire experiment of the New York Knicks forever, actually. Please do that.
The more important point here that I want to bring up is something that's been
more important than the Knicks?
Yes, and it's been something I've been thinking about for a while. It's a pattern that I've noticed, is that Pablo seems to always just ignore Tom Thibodeau. It's never a thing that he wants to talk about or talk to, as is evidenced before you get defensive. Let me go ahead and show the video evidence. Roll the tape.
Receipts.
y'all still here too?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, who's that in the back?
Hey, who's that?
Yeah. So congrats.
That is
a leader. That is the leader of men back there being ignored largely by the taller than I thought he would be.
He looks like a producer. He looks like a producer. You could have confused that for a guy who's waiting for Magic because he needs to take him to his next thing. Just standing there looking at his phone. You know he's not looking at his phone. He was just scrolling through. So he didn't look stupid being ignored by you.
I honestly did not even know Tom Thibodeau was there until months later. And also, like,
he was still there months later?
He might have been. I was really busy trying to dap up Magic Johnson so hard that I somehow kicked my leg out like I was riding some sort of horse.
Highly Questionable is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question how Brad Beal should feel about his teammates today?
Oh, man. So Bradley Beal with the Wizards, he had 57 points through three quarters yesterday, finished with 60, but it was the third straight game where he scored 50 or more and lost. And listen, there are very nice people in Washington, okay? Bradley Beal, super nice person. Russell Westbrook, very good dude. Scottie Brooks, one of my favorite. Their GM, Tommy Shepard, one of the nicest people I've known for 21 years covering the league. But Brad's got to get out of there, man. Like, Brad's got to go. I feel so terrible for him. He's more known for these gifs of like, I don't know, you think I suck? Look at me. Like, rather than just being as great as he is. Think about yesterday. If he would have gone off and had like 70 career game in a win, he could have sat down and talked about anything because he just went off. And look, now he has to sit there and cry some more after scoring 60 and losing. Poor Bradley Beal. And I'm not just saying that because he's a Gator. Go, Pablo.
I cannot believe you have that many Yelp reviews of people associated with the Washington Wizards. That's a remarkable amount of absolutely pseudo-journalism you just tried to execute there. I will point out, though, that Bradley Beal, beyond being like someone who deserves, of course, a better team around him, like, is also somebody who is stealing this segment from the guy we should be doing it about, because the Wizards lost that game. The Wizards lost that game because Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Don't do this,
Izzy,
man.
Embiid had 38, 8, 5, 3. And you may think the stat line is done there, but no, he also had another three, right? Three steals, three blocks. The Sixers, we did a segment about the Knicks. The Sixers have the best record in the entire NBA, and they beat Bradley Beal, rightfully so, because Embiid, in fact, is transcendent right now. So please show some more respect for the process.
You are out of control.
You
Pablo.
Need to show
out
more respect for the format of the show, guys. This is Do You Question, and you're both treating it like an A block. Bradley Beal, you had a good game. You're a good person because you're going to go back out there and have another good game, even though you've seen that it's not going to help much, but you're going to keep doing it because you're a good person. I believe in you. Done.
Tonight at 7:30, Nets and 76ers.
Ah, yes, the Brooklyn Nets, the only team playing in this game, really. I think we all overreacted a little bit when we saw Kyrie and Kevin Durant play together early. They sort of come back to earth. It helps a little bit that, you know, KD is in COVID protocol and can't play for a little bit. But the idea was they have two guys that can hit big shots at the end of games. Kyrie actually said it. KD's as good at me at this. Let's watch.
Irving, 7 seconds left. Irving, a three.
Seems like an easy shot.
Back to Durant.
Oh, let's see this again. That is your signature shot. Oh.
Irving
Durant. Yeah, not to overreact, but I think they're going to be pretty terrible if they hit these shots. Right, Pablo? Are you intrigued?
I am not intrigued, first off. Like, they're going to lose the Sixers, self-evidently. That doesn't even need to be said, although I just did say it. I don't want to be too mean to Kyrie here, but I just want to point out that somewhere LeBron James, I hope, is watching that clip and thinking to himself, yeah, yeah, I heard about those shots. I wish I could make them like that, exactly like that.
That's your favorite guy there, Katie. Kyrie Irving, are you intrigued?
What does that mean? Look, I just, I'm happy for them. They're good at basketball, better at it than I am. So you keep shooting, guys. You'll hit them eventually. I don't care. I'll watch the game because it means I don't have to watch other stuff. Go basketball.
3, 2, 1. Just drooled on myself. All right, thank you for watching Highly Questionable. That is Katie Nolan, the host of Sports with a Question Mark. Get a break. Blah, 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 blah. One more time. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, man, I wanted to use you saying you drooled. Oh, hold on, hold on. My hairs are back. Hold on. Oh, 5 more seconds.
Thank you for watching Highly Questionable. That is Katie Nolan, the host of Sports with a Question Mark. That is her podcast. That is Israel Gutierrez. He wrote a great Bam Adebayo feature on ESPN Plus and is probably very popular on TikTok. Find me on ESPN Daily. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. All of that, rate and review 5 stars, please, desperately.